Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Question Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona. I am producer and host of the show, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 9 years, we have been ranked the number one entertainment career advice internet radio show worldwide. Google loves us. We love us. Everybody loves us. Now, this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality, either by dreaming about or currently pursuing a career in the entertainment industry. Our guest will help you by providing tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in a wide variety of show business jobs. We focus on in front of and also behind the camera, and we also throw in a theatrical stage guests as well. Now, some of the guests on this show include, are you ready for this, people? All right. Never ceases to amaze me. I get these people on the show, but I do somehow. They just love the show. We have Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, agents, screenwriters, actors, voiceover actors, singers, songwriters, comedians, writers, novelists, script supervisor. I try to get stunt people on here, but they're always either in the hospital, incapacitated. I don't know what goes on, but I'm still trying. And we throw in the entertainment lawyer around December to help them drum up new business. Believe me, if you're working in entertainment and you are not seeking an entertainment attorney, well, we need to reevaluate the career because you should be at the level where you need an entertainment attorney. Everybody needs one. So the list actually goes on and on. We have so many different types of people. And all of the guests that we choose have been selected because they're at different stages of their careers, from obviously celebrity status to professional. And then once in a while, we throw in the novice or beginner because we want to know about the trials and tribulations, who's eating tuna out of a can and ramen noodles, and who's up there with the ribeye steak. And we like to make sure that we encourage the ramen eaters. You're going to have a ribeye one day in your life. And we're going to show you how. So this definitely means that we're going to have someone on this show who will be able to answer all of your show business questions. Now, if you missed any of the shows or you need information about a specific career, the way I have the show listed on our archive page is I have the name of the person, then I have their title. So if you're looking for, say, a comedian, award-winning comedian, or someone who's won a Grammy, I'll have Grammy award-winning producer, Grammy award-winning singer. So if you do the search, you'll be able to speed it up. I know for 9 years, you're like, oh my God, how am I going to find somebody on this list? Well, they do have a little search box. So use the keywords and you'll find it right away. So go to the archive page of the LA Talk Radio website. It's latalkradio.com, latalkradio.com. And you search for the title of our show, Question Reality, or you can search by my name, Priscilla Leona, and you can download or listen 24 hours a day. We're coming at you from all angles. Imagine listening to this East Coast whiny little voice 24 hours a day. If you don't need medication, my God, you're a special person. All of the Question Reality shows are also available for free on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And make sure you get our newly redesign-free mobile app on the homepage of the latalkradio.com website. It's on the far right-hand side down the bottom. I'm telling you, this app is incredible. You can listen to a ton of shows. The LA Talk Radio has, and let me just tell you, I am, you know, I joke around a lot. If you've been listening to me for 9 years, you know I'm a joker, but you also know that I'm extremely organized and meticulous, and I'm a micromanager, and I like things done right. My motto is, if you're going to do something, you do it 150% or don't bother at all. And I do research, and I have been doing research for many, many years. I did research for years before I decided to go with LA Talk Radio, and I've done research afterwards just, you know, to keep up with what's going on. And I'm telling you, latalkradio.com, they have the best shows, such a wide variety. And I would highly recommend, if you have any friends that are thinking about possibly going on radio, if it was a dream and then they, you know, got married and their wife is like, you have to work and toil and go to the mines 40-80 hours a week, you will not have your dream. We got to take care of these 9 kids. Well, you know what? He can still have the dream of being a radio, having his radio show, because LA Talk Radio, you can do it remote. You can do it right from the privacy of your home. Some of our guests even sit around in the nude. Yes, they do. I won't mention any names, but let me tell you, they've told me in private. I'm like, thanks for telling me after the show, because I just couldn't get through the show if you told me before. Of course, some of the guests are hot, so I'm like, yeah, tell me before. Let me prepare myself. I can handle it. But check out latalkradio.com if you or someone you know wants to do a radio show. I'm telling you, I've loved it. I've been here 9 years, and I'm very picky, very, very picky, and they are top-notch. Okay, so the app, the newly designed app, down the bottom of the page. Finally, if you want to refer someone to be on the show, as you know, our show is very popular. We have a waiting list and we book 6 months. I was booking at one point a year in advance, but by the time the people were scheduled to come on, they forgot. They're like, who the hell are you? Or they went on tour, or they were booked for a film in another country. There was always a problem. So now we keep it at 6 months and we have a consistent waiting list. But I would highly recommend that you schedule a date and get on a waiting list. And then if you have to change, we can always reschedule you. So if you or you know someone wants to be on the show to promote themselves or their products, or just help listeners with your career advice, we are currently now booking for 2018. So January, February, and March, I believe my assistant said we're booking for. So please go to our official website, questionrealityradioshow.com, and click the contact link to submit for interview consideration. Oh, finally, I'm through with that. Can you believe every week for 9 years I've been doing that? Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, all good things do not have to come to an end, because I'm just going to keep going until I drop dead. All right. We, as always, have fantastic, exciting guests on this show. And today is no exception. I am so lucky to have this gorgeous, hot, sexalina that's on the show today. She is so gorgeous. I highly recommend you check her out. My God, she's so super accomplished, multi-talented actress, author, animal activist, Silva Caligian. And if my husband were doing the show, he would have a big applause, a stadium applause. So I'm just going to go, applause, 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 applause. We're hearing it. We're loving it. We're knowing it. I want you to go to her website. Well, I'm telling you a little bit about her and check her out. You can find her on just about everything. She's on Facebook. She's on IMDb. Highly recommend you check her out on IMDb.com, because her credits are just amazing. Just very, very accomplished. Now, she's here today to tell us about her latest book entitled God Spelled Backwards, The Journey of an Actress into the World of Dog Rescue. And it was written to raise awareness of the mistreatment of dogs across the United States. Do you know, guys, you know I'm a huge, yeah, as they say where I come from, I'm a huge a pet lover. I watch just about every reality pet show there is. My husband's like, what is wrong with you? Is that what you're going to be doing when we're seniors? And I'm like, yes, it is. I want to be a veterinarian. But I just love dogs so much. So when I found out that that was what her book was about, I just was so excited. Sylvia, I keep calling her. She's going to kill me. She's going to absolutely, Sylva! Oh my God. Sylva recently completed her East and West Coast book tour, and she was referred by one of our favorite guests, Eileen Gruba, who's been on the show so many times. We love her. And Sandra Curry, who, as you know, she's been on a couple times. She's best known for a standout role on the hit franchise The Hangover films with that sexy Bradley Cooper. Oh my goodness. So Sandra's going to be back next year if her schedule allows. Now, I also want you to go to Amazon.com. Her book is available. I believe it is available on Kindle. There is a hardcover for sure. And I believe there is a paperback. But go to Amazon and type in God spelled backwards, The Journey of an Actress into the World of Dog Rescue. You have to get this book. I'm telling you, it's just, oh, well, I'm hoping I can get her to send me an autographed copy. I'm going to have to weasel her into it. We're going to talk to her, but please go to Amazon right now. Order your copy of the book. Check her out on imdb.com. Her name is spelled S-Y-L-V-A. Last name is spelled K-E-L-E-G-I-A-N. And her website is down. Yes, she has a website. It is down today for whatever reason. It will be back up tomorrow, but it is Sylva Caligion. And check that out tomorrow. But please go there and get your break your piggy bank open. It's worth it. Get this book. Now, real quick, I have to do this. Oh my gosh, my friend Luke. If you've been following our radio show, you know, as I just said, I'm a huge reality TV fanatic. You learn so much about the world, various professions, lifestyles, cultures, that without reality TV, you might not ever have the opportunity to know about. It broadens your mind. In my opinion, it broadens your mind. It broadens your world. It just allows you to know about others. I mean, I watch so much reality TV. I could actually deliver a baby right now, and I could solve any lawsuit that you have. I think I'd be a good lawyer. But anyway, I love reality TV. My family members and friends are like, why do you watch it? It's blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? I think you're a fool if you don't watch it. No, I'm just going to throw it out there, because you don't get the opportunity to find out about different lifestyles and cultures and about the world and about people who live. I mean, come on. Yes, I watched Honey Boo Boo. Why do you say why? Well, you know what? I never knew people like that existed. I never knew you could put ketchup on spaghetti and eat it and that it tasted good. Well, there's something that you learn. You may think that that's dumb, but I love it. I didn't know you could throw lard on the damn kitchen floor and just have a full day's activity playing on the floor in lard. If you're broke, it's an activity, people. Come on. All right. So Luke, my friend Luke, he is the manager of development for this. I'm telling you, this is like a huge, huge production company. So when I found out that Luke was he's going to be the showrunner, manager of development for this new reality TV show, I had to ask Luke. I said, please let me advertise to find out if I can help you cast for this super cool show. So, it's an award-winning TV production company, and they are currently seeking couples of different sizes to tell their story about a new TV docuseries. As you know, no family looks the same, and therefore they are really giving couples a chance to tell their story that might not have had a chance before. So they're looking for couples that have a 250-pound difference in size. They're going to be considered first, but anybody who has a different body body size other than their partner should definitely apply. This includes all types of couples, married, dating, same sex, living together, and even exes. So anybody interested, you can email Luke at docucasting2017@gmail.com. docucasting2017@gmail.com for more information. And then you have to submit a TV docu submission form, but you can email me and I'll send you the form. But I'm telling you, this is going to be huge. Huge. All right. Now we're back to Silva. Now, Silva, I hope you bought that book by now. Did you not buy a book? You better buy that book, because I'm telling you, it's worth it. You don't want to miss out on this book. Now, Silva Caligian has appeared off-Broadway in numerous plays, and she's guest starred on television dramas such as CSI. Oh, she's on all my favorites. CSI, NCIS Los Angeles, Southland, Rizzoli and Isles, ER, Cold Case, Desperate Housewives, Big Love, Prison Break, Without a Trace. And there's just too many more. We'd be here for 3 hours going through all of the stuff she's been on. She's also starred in a ton of independent films, such as Stephen King's movie, which I haven't seen. I actually am going to check this out. Stephen King's movie of the week, Desperation. And she's appeared in blockbuster and fan favorite films, such as Spider-Man, Crash, Atlas Shrugged, and Return to Zero. Silva is a lifetime member of the Actors Studio. I bet that's where she met Eileen Gruba, who's also a lifetime member. And she's also the author and award-winning memoir that I just told you about, God, spelled backwards, The Journey of an Actress into the World of Dog Rescue. It is a 2016 Book Excellent Award winner. It's a 2015 Global eBook Award memoir winner and a memoir finalist in the 2015 Beverly Hills Book Awards. And Silva also has a children's book called The Dolphin Princess. Oh, I just love that. That just makes me happy just saying it. I think I could actually be the Dolphin Princess on a Friday night date night. I'm going to talk to my husband about it, see if he'd allow that. The Dolphin Princess is a 2015 winner of the Beverly Hills Book Award for Children's Fiction and a 2015 Global eBook winner for Children's Literature Fiction and a CIPA Award winner for Children's Storybooks. Oh my gosh, how accomplished is this woman? This is phenomenal. This is great. Silva has, as if you're not impressed already and you haven't even heard the woman, I guess you're expecting her voice to come on and all of a sudden you're gonna get a dopamine drip or something, because I'm telling you, I've just built the woman up. She's going to be, why are you doing this? It's not all that. But Silva has rescued over 500 dogs and lives in Los Angeles with her husband. Hold on a minute. Now, wait till you hear who her husband is. I didn't even know this, honestly, until today. My assistant did all this research, and then she said, oh, by the way, Priscilla, did you know that Silva's husband is your actor, one of your favorite actors? She's married to one of your favorite actors? I said, who? She said, Jude Chickalala. I'm like, what? Hold on. Wait a minute. Are you talking 24? Are you talking about my Mike from 24 and also on Touch? Are you? Yes, he is. Yes, she was lucky enough to snatch that little hottie, Jude, to marry to him. Actually, Albert and I got married in 96, so they're 1 year shy of us. So they got married in 1997. So isn't that incredible? So she's married to Jude. And again, he's probably best known for his spectacular role as Mike Novick on the TV hit series 24. Anyone who does not know Mike Novick on 24, well, I just can't deal with you right now. And Silva and Jude have three very special dogs, Maisie, Shadow, and Nate. So without further ado, let's welcome, oh my God, Silva!
Hi, Priscilla. I'm exhausted just hearing about it.
I thought you would be I thought for sure I was going to hear a snore. I was going to hear a snore. I thought I put you to sleep a half an hour ago.
I should hire you to be my PR woman. You're fantastic.
Well, you know, when you're as impressive as you are, it is so easy. Oh, my God. First of all, Oh, gosh.
Right on cue. My dogs haven't barked all day, and now they're going crazy. Anyway.
You know they have phenomenal hearing, so they heard the pitch of my voice. You're probably right.
Yep.
I am, because I had a vocal teacher who had, or said he had perfect pitch. Who the hell knows? But he said that my voice, I said, why is it when I call people and the answering machine comes on and that beep comes on and I start leaving my message, I get disconnected from every voicemail and answering machine. He said it's my pitch. My pitch can hit so high. So it's probably very sensitive to your dogs. I feel sorry
for him. I think you're absolutely right. That's exactly what he heard. And he just went running out thinking it was someone at the door. But nope, right here, Bob.
Poor little thing. Now, let's talk such a small world. I just want to get this out of the way. Your gorgeous husband, Jude, probably best known for his spectacular role as Mike Novick on Hit TV Series 24. Phenomenal actor. My husband and I just love his work. We were in tears when he died on 24. You should have seen us. It is so embarrassing. Aww. We're going, no, not Mike. No. So embarrassing now. But also, an interesting fact, he was on Touch. He played Arnie Klepper on Touch. Our doctor and dear friend is David Mazouz's dad, the little boy that was on Touch. He's now on Gotham.
Oh, nice. It is always 6 degrees in this business, that's for sure.
It is. But wait a minute, this is the last thing. I nearly died on this one, Silva. Your husband and I, not that he would know me, okay, but your husband and I were both in a movie called Julia with Tilda Swinton.
Oh, you were in that too?
Yeah, I had this little tiny, teeny-weeny part. And he played the character of Nix. He wouldn't even know who I was, but it was just a small role. But I think I feel so privileged now. I feel so privileged.
Well, I will let him know when he gets home. And if he was here, I would put him on the phone to say hi. But he just took himself to a movie.
Oh, my gosh. Will you tell him that I am begging you to have him come on as a guest? Because my bucket list includes Mike Novick, a.k.a. Jude, a.k.a. Jude.
You'll be able to cross that off your list by next year, I'm sure.
So sweet. Now, right now, I know that you, again, there's so many things you have done with your life. You have made your life so full and rich, and you've done so many things. You've done so many things that you couldn't have lived like three lifetimes. You just have really made the most of your life. And one of my pet peeves is that people just don't do enough with their life. And I feel so sad, but you know, some people just don't feel motivated. But that's not you, girl. You are rocking it out. You are rocking the Casbah with your life. So we are going to talk about so many things today. But first, I want to talk about your latest book, God Spelled Backwards, The Journey of an Actress into the World of Dog Rescue. First of all, for those who do not know what the book is about, what is the book about? And what is your primary message to your audience, or the ultimate goal of the book?
Well, my book is about when I was acting and working a lot. You know, acting is a very self-involved, focused business. It just is. You know, you're constantly thinking about your next job. How are you gonna? What kind of role you're gonna do? Who's gonna cast you? How are you gonna get into this play? You know, it's all about me, me, me. And I woke up one morning and I just said, "This is not who I am. I cannot be about me, me, me in my life. There's a place for me, 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 definitely, but I needed a balance." And so, long story short, I started to mentor a young girl, and then I adopted a dog right after that. And then I moved out to L.A. to be with Jude. I was working in New York. He was here. And I started to see all these animals in need. And so the book is about my journey over the last 16 years of balancing my acting life while running around Los Angeles, rescuing dogs from the streets, from the shelters, from people who were giving them up. I got sucked in like quicksand for many years. And basically the book is very entertaining, very spiritual, and highly educational. And the message I'm trying to get across with the book, you know, it's very educational in the sense that it really it explains what these animals are going through and what we as people can do to help them. And that was my real goal in writing the book, is to raise awareness and let people know what they're going through, and to say to someone, this is what you can do if you see this, and this is what you can do if you see this. By telling my journey, by telling everything that I went through in the world of rescue, all the mistakes I made. And it's very spiritual at the same time, because I do believe that animals are the closest thing to God, and dog is spelled backward, and dog is God spelled backwards, and I think there's a reason for that. They are sentient beings that don't judge. They only love, and the things that we do to them are unconscionable. But I also wrote the book so that everybody could read it and not be like, oh my God, I can't read this book. I don't want to know this information. It's very readable. As my writing group said when I was writing it, make sure that my mom can read this. Make sure Aunt Jerry can read this. And that everybody can read this so that they're not horrified by everything. So it's a very readable book. You'll laugh, you'll cry. It's won 3 awards, and I actually just got it into Oprah's hands. Not just, but a little while back. So now I just pray every day that she reads it and picks it, because I want to be on Super Soul Sunday talking about the plight of animals and what we can do as a nation to help them. So that's the gist of it.
Yeah, that's definitely going to happen. And real quick, I want to say that a lot of people don't realize that animals are the only creature that does not possess the desire for revenge. They do not kill for revenge. And a lot of people don't understand that. They kill for food. They kill to protect their territory if they have to, but they don't go around plotting your death because you slept with their mate. Okay. So they don't,
I've never quite thought of it that way, but yes, you're absolutely right.
They don't.
You're right. They kill for survival. That's what they kill for.
Yes. And that's important to note. And that in itself, so many things are done for revenge purposes. Yes. So many things, from very minute things to major things. So I love animals, and what I watched your very short YouTube clip about what the book was about, and one thing I want to bring up that you said was that they, and I don't know who they would be, but I think it should be whoever they is that could make it happen. But you brought up a very, very important point, and that was every dog and cat should be spayed and neutered, because if you collect them and you care enough to take the time out to try to help them, get them, fork over a couple bucks. There are even places that do it for free. But
there are definitely a lot of places.
Let's talk about that.
Well, it's the most important thing you can do, because every year in this country we kill in our shelters 5 million animals, dogs and cats, upwards of 5 million every single year in this country, just in this country alone. I'm not talking about anywhere else where dogs are starving all over the streets, as they are here too in this country, believe it or not. But spay and neuter is the most important thing, because if everybody spayed and neutered their animals, we wouldn't have this problem. And the laws, it's very hard for them to pass the law, the spay and neuter law, though there is a spay and neuter law implemented in Los Angeles. They don't have the manpower to go around knocking on doors to make sure that every animal is spayed and neutered. Hence, and especially in a lot of different areas in LA where people don't believe in spay and neuters, there's animals running the streets. Dogs, cats, thousands by the thousands. I think there's even, I can't remember the exact number, but there's thousands and thousands and thousands of animals on the streets of Los Angeles as we're speaking today. And this is Los Angeles. I'm not talking about Mexico. This is Los Angeles. So spay and neuter is the most important thing you can do for your animal. It also, for those people listening who think, oh, I could never neuter my dog or never fix my cat, or female dogs die prematurely from vaginal cancer. Mammary cancer, exactly. And boys get testosterone cancer. So your dogs and cats can actually live longer if you fix them. Wow. They're also much happier. Imagine, if you're a boy, remember when you were 19, how you felt all the time. Well, that's how dogs feel when they're not neutered. And when they can't act out on that, it's very frustrating. And that's why, I say to people, never bring an unneutered dog to a dog park, because it's not the unneutered dog that will get into trouble. It's the other dogs that smell him, males, that will start to go after him. So it really is the most important thing on so many. There's no reason not to fix your animal. No reason not to.
And it cuts down on aggression. A lot of people say, oh, why does my dog jump up when people come over? Why does my dog?
Why is he hunting me? Why is he going crazy? That's right. Yeah.
Because their animal's primary goal is to mate, to carry on the species, even before eating and drinking. I found that fascinating. Again, reality TV people, don't be bashful. I learned that. And Silva just confirmed I knew about the mammary gland cancer in females.
That's right, very good.
But, it's their primary thing. They will starve and not drink water if their first thing is to mate. And it cuts down on the aggression. It saves so many diseases. And overall, it's the right thing to do. So, whoever it is, maybe there's a petition going around. I don't know, Silva. Is there something going around that's like change.org or anything at all? What can we do?
Well, you can write to your council people. The great thing is this last week, a wonderful law has finally passed, which is a major step in the direction of animal welfare. And that is, and Governor Brown signed it. The woman named Judy Mancuso, who's a big animal rights gal, was working for years to get it passed, and it's finally passed. And that is that no pets, no dogs, no cats, no rabbits, and I think there's birds too, none of them can be sold in pet stores in all of California anymore. And I think it's not just Los Angeles, it's all of California. That means all of these puppies that come from puppy mills where the parents are living in cages, they can barely stand up and turn around their entire life, and they're bred over and over and over. All those puppies, that the cute little puppies in pet stores that you see, they all come from from puppy mills, where the parents are just living isolated, horrific lives. So this is now a law in California. A lot of these stores that make their living by selling these animals are going to be shut down, because these animals come from horrific places, and a lot of them come with diseases, and they're sick because they're not cared for properly. But the big thing is that the parents of these animals are suffering so greatly. So this is now changed. As of last week, it's going to be a law going to be implemented soon. The next law that I want to work on is the cage law. You are allowed to keep a dog in a cage 24/7 in Los Angeles as long as they can stand up and turn around and they have food and shade. And this is an archaic law that goes back to the puppy mill law, and it's hard to change because of the puppy mill law, but that's the next thing that's going to probably change.
Oh, I hope so. I can't stand it, Sova. I don't like to see any animal in a cage. I can't even own a pet because I don't feel it's fair to not have a pet unless it has at least an acre to roam around on.
Well, trust me, you don't need an acre to roam around on. You really don't. My dog in New York was happier in New York than she was living in an apartment than she was living in a house in L.A.
Okay.
Because she got her four walks a day and she got to get out and play, So dogs in apartments are fine as long as they get out and they get their exercise and they get out for socialization. You don't need an acre to have a dog. So I'm going to have to talk to you about this afterwards and talk to you maybe into getting an animal.
Oh, gosh, I would love a puppy, but my husband said, oh, no, there's hair that goes everywhere, and then there you can smell their – oh, my gosh. He didn't grow up. I grew up with a dog. He didn't grow up with any pets, and he's kind of scared of them. He's kind of, not into them. But I just love animals so much.
So then you get a Maltese that doesn't shed, that's hyperallergenic, and then you don't have to worry. The thing that I tell people is, if you don't want to commit to a dog, there are numerous rescue groups all over Los Angeles, all over the country, and they're always looking for foster homes. When you foster a dog, you take a dog into your home until that dog finds the forever home. You don't pay for anything. The rescue group covers all the bills for the food, for the bedding. You just keep the animal safe until that dog or cat finds a forever home. So if anybody out there is listening and they don't feel they can commit financially or emotionally to an animal for its whole life, fostering is really the way to go. Great thing to do.
Great thing to point out. Absolutely. Now, let's talk about your little children's book, The Dolphin Princess. I love the title, by the way. What is the book about, and what inspired you to write the book? And again, what is your primary message to your audience or ultimate goal?
Well, your favorite actor, Mike Novick, Jude Chicalella, called me the Dolphin Princess on our honeymoon 20 years ago.
Oh, what the heck? Wait a minute, Silva. What kind of skills did you have that he's calling you a dolphin?
I'm a swimmer. I was on a swim team when I was young, and I've had tons of medals and ribbons, and swimming is just my thing. I grew up swimming. Okay. And so he had never seen me swim because we met in New York, and then we went off to St. Martin for our honeymoon, and he's like, oh, my God, you can swim? And he always called me my princess. And he still does. I'm his princess, my princess, my princess. But he said, you're like the dolphin princess. And I said, oh, my God, what in the dolphin princess? And I just because of like this light bulb went off in my head, and I said, I have to write a book called The Dolphin Princess. And I had never written a book, and I'd never really thought about writing a book. But I thought, this is a Disney movie. This is a book that should be a Disney movie called The Dolphin Princess. And so 17 years later, it's finished, and it's won 4 awards, and it's a wonderful, I always say it came through me. It didn't come from me. It just kind of came through me. It's about a little girl that I placed her living on Fifth Avenue in New York City. She's a little rich girl in New York City. I was born in Queens, but I always had a fantasy of living on the Upper East Side on Fifth Avenue. So she lives on the Upper East Side, and her mother, when the book begins, has passed away, and her father's not very present in her life. And long story short, he takes her on the last cruise of the Queen Mary, and she falls off the ship trying to catch a locket that was her mother's. And she's rescued by a dolphin and taken to this island called Enemia Island, where inanimate objects come to life. And they teach her that as long as you're alive, you can love and be loved. And she goes back to the ship knowing that even though she doesn't have her mother anymore, she's alive, and therefore she can love and be loved. And her father redeems himself at the end, and so the creatures teach her, all different creatures that have come to life. Now, the creatures on the island were all unwanted and thrown into the ocean one way or the other and have washed up on the island. And so they teach her the truth about as long as you're alive, you can love and be loved.
And would it be wrong if I read that book as an adult? Because I want to read it.
I have to tell you, the more adults have read and bought the book than children.
Oh.
Adults absolutely love it. I always say it's for the young at heart adult, even more than kids. The kids love it too. It's really for adults, for the young at heart adult.
I have to have that one. I need you to sign.
I will send you.
And I'm going to pay for it. I don't want anything.
No. I will send you. I will send you both books with autographs.
Oh, my gosh. I have to have it. I can't stand it now. Now, you recently completed your East and West Coast book tour. What was the overall response or feedback of your book?
It was great. You know, everywhere I went, I got a lot of press. Being an actress always helps, and dog rescue is kind of in these days. So everywhere I went, I was able to get an article in the paper or a radio interview or something. So it was good turnouts everywhere. And some places I actually spoke to people and tried to educate them about what it's like to be a dog rescuer and what you can do to help animals. Other places were just sitting signing books and for people that came and heard about the book. But it was wonderful. It was really great. I miss it. I actually did a book signing Saturday. Thank you.
Yeah,
Saturday at the Burbank library, and I hadn't done one in a few months. So it was like, oh, I really miss doing this. I need to do some around the holidays too. I really enjoy. I'm very social, so I love talking to people and love to get to get the books out there and It's an enjoyable experience for me.
Well, I want to get your books out there too, so I'm going to be working on
you.
Sure. Now, so many people, Silva, who want to write a book, they yearn to get a literary agent and to be published by an established publisher. However, more and more people are deciding to self-publish for many reasons. Now, when I watched your YouTube video, you stated two reasons, which I thought were just the crux of the message for people who want to do this. The first one was because you wanted to select the photo on the cover of your book, which was of your dog Sammy, and that with a traditional publisher, you don't get to do that. It's out of your control. I said, wow, I didn't know that at all. Then you said, well, I thought that they collaborated with you and that you could make a plea or a request. So I found that fascinating. And then the second reason you stated for self-publishing was that you would have to wait, you being a person who wants to write a book, would have to wait about 2 years for the book to come to fruition. So I was wondering if you could elaborate on that. First, why does it take so long for a publisher to get a book out? And why don't they let you choose the photo on your the cover of your book at a traditional publisher?
From what I understand, they have in-house designers. And so those in-house designers are the ones that decide what goes on the cover of the book. Unless you're Oprah or somebody that's been incredibly established as an author already, you really have no control over what goes on the cover of your book. And I wanted the picture of Sammy and I on God, and I wanted exactly the illustration that I wanted on The Dolphin Princess. I had that picture in my mind for years, and so I wanted that. And so I hired an illustrator to do that. And the reason it takes so long is, first of all, you have to find an agent. Once you find an agent, that agent has to go out and try to find a publisher for the book. Once the publisher decides to take on the book, then there's a major edit. Then it takes time for the book to come out. So overall, it could take 2 years for a book to come out. Unless you're someone who, a Michael Connelly or somebody like that that's turning out books like this, and you're very well established. That's a different story. I had never written books, so in hindsight, I wish that I had tried to get an agent and tried to get publishers for these books because as everybody said, they're good enough that one of the major publishers probably would have picked them both up, but I didn't do that. However, I did just recently sign with one of the biggest Chinese literary agent in China. So because what they do to dogs over there before they eat them, I don't even want to get into on this radio program. But I thought that my book would do well in China right now because the younger generation does not eat dog like the older generation does. And so they signed me for God Spelled Backwards and The Dolphin Princess because of the illustrated in the children's book too. So now that agent goes out to publishers and tries to get a publisher for me in China, which could be a very lucrative, great thing if that goes.
Well, first of all, congratulations on that. That's huge,
Yeah, it has the possibility,
Well,
so hopefully that will.
You said that most self-published books look like they're self-published books, and it's true. I've seen them, and yes, it does. And you said that that the company that you worked with at the time, Ex Libris, provided a high-quality finished product. Now, what I saw on the YouTube video and what I could see, I've never held it in my hand, but from what I could see, I couldn't tell the difference if it was published by a high-end publisher or not, because it's really great quality. This company, Ex Libris, who I'd never heard of, they were able to give you the traditional publisher look and feel from what I can see. Now, you said that there was a woman that you worked with who was always there to help you and guide you with writing a book. A lot of people have no choice but to self-publish, and the books don't turn out looking really, really, really good. So, but most of them, from what I understand, they do offer a free publishing consultation. So what are at least three questions that a person should have prepared to ask during the publishing consultation?
Well, I know, there's so many ways to publish books now, and a lot of people are doing it themselves on Amazon, and I'm not sure, I've seen so many self-published books that just they don't look that good. And the writing is, you know, the editing is bad too, you know. And so you just go, why bother? You know, if you're going to do this 100%. And I think if you're going to do this, you know, you need to really do it 100%. You need to hire an editor to edit, to make sure your book is in immaculate, beautiful, perfect condition before it gets printed. I remember the year before my books came out, I was ready to publish. I wanted to get them out by Christmas. I'm done. I wanted to get them. And I sat down and I read and I thought, what am I doing? They are just not done. Sit back down, take another year or however long it takes, and perfect them before they get out to the world. And I'm so grateful that I did that. So that's one piece of advice I can really offer. If you're going to put something out into the world, make sure it's the best thing, best writing, best editing it could possibly be. Ex Libris, for instance, I think Ex Libris is known as the biggest self-publishing company in the world. And I went with them because of the look of the books. They really are gorgeous. I mean, they're just beautiful. And they also had hard copies. A lot of self-publishing companies only do soft copies. And they have these beautiful hard copies and soft copies rather. And they're also an e-book. So they across the board, they do everything. But again, you know, even with a company like that, I had to stay on them for every little detail because I say to people, it's your baby. When it's your baby, you need to make sure that it's going to be what you want to put out in the world, not what somebody else is saying should be, or saying, oh, that's okay, that doesn't matter. Well, yeah, it does matter if the apostrophe, you know, if there's no apostrophe and there should be, or there's a space between a word that shouldn't be there. So it's being really meticulous like that and talking to the publishers and saying, you know, how much effort do you put in and how much effort, you know, how much of it is their responsibility and your responsibility. But ultimately, at the end, it's always your responsibility. So if I can impart any words of wisdom on that, really, really take the reins if it's your book.
What are the pros and cons of self-publishing? I mean, is it expensive? Mm-hmm. You know, what should you do before you make that publishing self-publishing decision? I mean, I heard it was really expensive, but
it can be. I think, you know, a friend of mine just published a book through Amazon, I think. There's some kind of Amazon thing. And it wasn't that expensive for her at all. Mine were expensive. This publishing company was expensive because they really are worth it because the quality is so fantastic. But the thing that I didn't know when I self-published is that I couldn't be reviewed by, for instance, the LA Times, the New York Times, any of these papers because I was self-published. Had I known that, I would have done everything I could to have gone the traditional route. Only because I really wanted God and still want, and I'm not going to stop until it becomes a bestseller. I really need this book to go worldwide because it is so, I find it, it's such an important book. And it's not just because I wrote it or it's my life. It's really an important book. And had I gone with a traditional publisher, I would have, you know, possibly gotten the review at the LA Times, a review in the New York Times.
Why can't you do reviews with the LA Times? Why is that if you self-publish?
Because they don't review self-published material because there's so much. There's so many books that are coming out on a daily basis that they can't. They only take on the traditional publisher books and the ones that, so because it's the market is just saturated. I mean, everybody's writing a book these days. It's kind of astounding to see. It really is.
Silva, people, real quick, because, oh my God, we're running out of time. I could talk to you for like 3 more hours, but so many people, as you said, are self-publishing, but people get all excited. And, you know, I'm a planner. Like, I believe in plan A, B, and C. I'm not going to do anything until I have all 3 plans. And people get so excited and they just think, oh, I want to write a book. I want to write a book. And they don't know how to write a book. They don't know that there's, you know, a certain way you write a book. They don't know how to set it up. And then they get excited and so they self-publish and then they think, okay, why isn't anybody buying my book? There is more to self-publishing than just, you know, hiring a ghostwriter to write your book or writing it yourself or however you do. Once you self-publish, you still have to promote it. Tell us about that real quick.
I've worked for the last 3 years. That's why, you know, I haven't had a paid acting job for almost 3 years because I really took these 3 years and was really focused on the books because it was an everyday job, literally. And I had a PR woman when they first came out for a couple months, and I thought, wait a minute, I could do this easily myself and more. And so that's what I did. And I just, every day it was, you know, you have to get on to all the, you have to submit to all the awards, which I did. And I won, I think, 99% of the awards that I submitted to, I won on each book in memoir category and in children's literature category, which is huge. I mean, I remember the first time I won the award, I was like, oh my God, I won an award for my book. And then the awards just kept coming, and it was like, wow. And that's when I realized, you know, yeah, they really are worthy books. They really, really, really are. And I still, you know, to this day, I mean, I might even, starting next week when I have some time, start reaching out to traditional publishers and saying, hey, do you want to re-release this book? You know, that's why I say I'm staying on Oprah, because if Oprah picks it, then I don't have to, you know, then the publishers will come running and pick it up.
You definitely need to. But, gosh, we got to go. But it just prompted a question with what the legalities were involved there. Oh, my God. Sova, please. I have like 25 more questions for you. And I'm getting I have to wrap the show because I keep getting messages that we ended at 50 and it's 51. So I got to go. But that prompted the question about, you know, the legalities of if you self-publish, you know, what can you do if you go to a traditional publisher? So let's table that. And would you please come back on the show so we can finish this up?
Absolutely. And we can talk about acting then, too.
Yeah. But what I'd like to do is bring you back on because I had a cancellation for December and we're booked until January. But I had a cancellation. I want to book you for that spot because that would be perfect to get our last minute promotion for Christmas gifts, because I think that this book,
very sweet. That would be wonderful.
This book should be on everybody's Christmas list for sure. So let me email you and give you the date and see if you're available. And then we're going to get the last questions answered and then get a last push for this book for sure.
And you give me your address and I'll send you both books.
Okay, I will. All right. And thank you everybody for listening. Please go to Amazon and get this book. So very important. It's called God Spelled Backwards, The Journey of an Actress into the World of Dog Rescue. Please go to our website tomorrow. I hope you have it up, Silva. SilvaKaligian.com. But go to Amazon right now. Friend her on Facebook. She's on Twitter. And check her out on IMDb. Thank you, my gorgeous little Silva, for coming on the show. And I will see you back here. We're going to have her on in December. So stay tuned for the message. Say goodbye to your fans.
Thank you. Thank you, Priscilla. Thank you, everybody. Have a great night. And I really appreciate it, Priscilla.
Oh, you're
welcome. Be kind to your animals.
I am an animal. I'm going to tell my husband tonight. Thank you,
everybody.
There you go. We'll see you next
week. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.